Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum, dear believers. Welcome to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Manira Habil Uma, and we will have with us this evening our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. Inshallah, she'll be joining us on tonight's program. And we will go ahead and open up, as we always do, with Al-Fatiha and get started with our program for this evening. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. That means we seek refuge with Allah, Most High, from Shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayr al-maktubi alayhim wal-abdalin. Ameen. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor of those who go astray. Ameen. All right, so we'd like to thank you for being here with us this evening as we embark on a new presentation here on It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I would like to invite our co-host to press 1 if she's ready to come into the queue, and we'll be happy to open her mic and get started with tonight's program. But we'll keep going until that happens. So if you have been with us for, okay, here she is. Let's get her mic opened and extend to her the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam, Munir, and all those within ear range, alhamdulillah. Thank you for inviting me.
Alhamdulillah. And, you know, just a housekeeping for all those who are in the path of all this bad weather that's going across the country, storm after storm after storm, we pray Allah that you have been safe and that you have weathered these storms, you and your families, and that you continue to be safe and bunker down. Because we never know what we'll be faced with the next day with this climate change and the drastic heat and storms and tornadoes and everything that we've been facing this summer. Yes. Did you have damage in your area, Bina?
No, we didn't. We just had a really hard downpour yesterday, but it wasn't major, and nothing that I can report locally with anything that's happened with us. I haven't checked the rest of the area, but everything seems to be fine here.
Alhamdulillah. Same here. We've been getting a lot of rain. Excessive rain here in this area, but no damage. So we thank Allah for that, and our prayers are with those who have received damage or, from the storm. So, all right. So, inshallah, we'll get started with tonight's program. And, you know, we have been presenting from the book by Dr. P. Anisa Nadir. We went through the whole book before the nikah, proven principles to help single, or I like to say non-married Muslims, choose wisely and build strong marriages. And we pray that this book has been beneficial to those who have listened to it here on It's All About Courtship and Marriage. And for those who have actually bought the book and made it a part of their library, you won't be disappointed with your purchase. It's something that you can go back to and that you can point other people to whenever needed, if it's a part of your library. And so what I'd like to do to end out that, to wrap up that presentation is to go over her last chapter, her ending summary of the book. We want to kind of close it out properly, inshallah, and then we can proceed on to our next presentation. Okay, so I'll give Sister Bina a minute. You know, I have to get
yeah,
used to.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I have to get used to working with someone on the show. I've been going solo for so long, and
I know.
So I have to, you know, be more conscious of getting information to her in advance as we
okay.
partner on this program.
Okay. All right. So in the summary of Dr. Pianisa's Nadir's before the Nikah, proven principles to help single Muslims choose wisely and build strong marriages. And her summary on page 153 begins, helping those who want to get married choose wisely is an amana or trust. This is a responsibility we all have. As a single person, make it your responsibility to get marriage education. As a parent, encourage your children to engage in a course of study about marriage before they have selected someone they want to marry. As imams, you are front line to helping to educate and assess marital readiness. Partner with the professionals in your community to help our single community members become better prepared for marriage. Commit to requiring premarital education before officiating marriages. Use the time at the minbar to strengthen our community with messages about the married life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, to commit to healthy marriages with love, compassion, and sakina. And that's the end of that summary.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And she wraps that up very nicely after giving us a wealth of information and some steps for practical application of the principles that she outlines in the book. I found that it was very informative and very thought-provoking and a systematic approach, a very systematic approach. And many times you meet someone and you're like, well, where do I get started? Where do I get started? And this is a good book to show you where and how to get started. And that's going to be starting with self first, knowing who strengthening your relationship, our relationships with our Lord and Creator, understanding what Allah wants of us, and understanding who you are, knowing your trauma and your triggers, knowing what you cannot tolerate. We all have things that we don't tolerate well, knowing those things, going into a relationship, and then following the principles in the book. And she recommends the MST, Marriage Success Team. So that means, first of all, we don't start that journey by ourselves. We have a team of people working with us, you know, preferably, if you're a young person, your parents, your siblings, your wali, if your wali is not your father or your walima is not your mother, you have those persons in place as you get started so that you can have a balanced approach, not getting swept off your feet or falling head over heels, but a balanced, rational approach in approaching marriage, having your marriage success team. Do your education. Get your education on marriage and what it takes to have a successful marriage, and go over those things and strengthen ourselves where we are, where we're short. Ask your parents and those who you see with successful marriages, interview them, you know, about communication and doing things together and how to accomplish those things, you know, take it very seriously and get as much education from those around you as possible, and include those around you in the process, because we're never doing this alone. Your circumstances, our circumstances in the marriage will affect everyone around us. Your mother will see a look on your face and be concerned about you. Your father will see something in your spirit and be concerned about you because they say, well, something is not right, you know. So these concerns will reach everyone. You will affect everyone. Your relationship will affect everyone. So, inshallah, we pray that it's a good relationship, a beautiful relationship, so it can affect others in a very positive way. We want infectious positivity, love, and joy. And I know I'm being idealistic, but we should aspire for those things. And we may fall short and have to do some work, but we continue to aspire to have a healthy, happy, lasting relationship, inshallah. Okay. Bina, any comments for you?
Yes, I love that statement the author made about, as a parent, encourage your children to engage in a course of study about marriage before they have selected someone they want to marry. Because once they get involved with someone, it's kind of hard to get them on any other track. It's almost like they got a one-track mind. So if they have that information prior to making a decision, all the more beneficial for everyone.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Okay, so again, the title of that book by Dr. P. Anisa Nadir, Before the Nikah, Proven Principles to Help Single Muslims Choose Wisely and Build Strong Marriages. You can find that book on Amazon, and you can also Google the author and see what is available. Maybe invite her to do Zoom educational conferences for your masjid. Okay, so we have a lot of resources that we can use from that presentation, and inshallah, we can continue to add onto those resources. And whether it's a virtual resource, a virtual program, but we have resources and tools available so that we can strengthen families and help build a successful ummah. Inshallah. Okay, so I think, and this is just my opinion, that this might have been a little difficult for a lot of brothers to go through this book with us, but we appreciate those who did stick and stay and went through this whole book with us and went through all these principles and concepts with us, because I think brothers can get kind of impatient with all the information. They tend to think it's overkill. If they're anything like my husband, DeLacy, they don't think that it takes all of that. It doesn't take all of that to get married, okay? And that's not a indictment or a criticism, but men just think differently about things and getting things done than
Absolutely.
We do. Yes.
Absolutely they do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, what we wanted to do is we want to take a balance. We want to be balanced in our approach and our information that we give on the show. So we have a second selection. And this one is written by a man for men. And it's a book that deals with marriage from a man's perspective. And we want to see
I can't wait.
if
I can't wait.
Okay. We want to see if how this balances off what we have gone through already. So, inshallah. And we'd like for the brothers to comment on these things, and because your contribution really helps the sisters in understanding and being more balanced in communicating and expectations and how men think and all of those things. So anything that you can contribute, we would greatly appreciate it. So we're going to get started with this right after these public service announcements. So we're going to ask you to stick and stay with us. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on AM 360. I'm your host, Munira Habil, and our co-host, Munira Habil Umar, our co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, is with us here this evening, and you're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. So we will be right back with you after these public service announcements.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdul Aziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, and we are back, and we thank you for taking the time to be with us here this evening on It's All About Courtship and Marriage. So we'll go ahead and get started with tonight's presentation. And Bina, I'm not sure if you were able to get the book or not. Are you there?
Yes, I did download it, so inshallah. Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. So this book is entitled A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and Be Loved. So alhamdulillah, we'll see what's done differently from a man's point of view. So if you like to call someone that you think will benefit from this presentation, please do so. We're going to go ahead and get started, and we'll turn this over to our dear sister Bina Muhammad Bia.
Okay, thank you. Let me ask you, where would you like for me to start? Because there's a foreword, there's an introduction, there are acknowledgments.
Just start at the beginning where it says special praise for a man's way through relationships.
Special praise. Okay, that's past the introduction, right? Let's see. Let me see.
It's, now I'm not sure how you're seeing it on your Kindle, but on my Kindle it's location 17.
Oh, well, now this is different. It goes by percentages. So where did you say start now? The journey?
Okay. Special praise for
special
a man's
praise.
Way through relationships.
Okay, and that's a heading, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see here.
Well, just go ahead and start at the introduction. We can circle back if needed.
At the introduction, let me go to that, okay. The introduction. Where the heck am I going and how the heck do I get there? Now, he didn't say heck. He used the words. Okay.
Okay.
He says, I was recently in London and had the opportunity to visit the underground bunkers used by Winston Churchill and his staff during World War II. While London was under siege, they strategized the defeat of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime from these secure and incredibly well-fortified dwellings known as the war rooms. Throughout these bunkers were maps. Many of the maps showed the locations of the different battleship groups around the world, those of both the enemy and the allies, tracking their movement. What would they have done without these maps? They would not have been able to see the more complete picture. Not only did the maps show the layout of the current situation, they also helped the British think about and plan their next moves and develop a vision of where they wanted to end up. The strategy for winning the war was contingent on having the context and information these maps provided. So, where are the maps for men in recovery in our quest to love and be loved? They are a few and far between. Maps for women? Yes. Some wonderful ones. Maps for couples? Yes, many. But maps written just for men and written by men, especially for those in recovery from addiction? Not really. Why? There is a long-standing belief that men don't care about relationships as much as women do. The good thing is that we are not at war in our relationships. It is not a battle and should not feel like one, even though for many men, I know it does. As men, we attempt this journey often with little idea of where we are going. We try to steer our ships on the treacherous seas of intimacy, vulnerability, trust, and love, often crashing on the rocks of our belief system about men. These rocks are everywhere, and if we are not paying attention, they will sink every meaningful relationship we set foot in. We all know that men don't often ask for directions, even when they are lost, but they might just use a map. This book is meant to provide such a map, one that can help chart some of the territory that has yet to be crossed successfully, just for men, just for you. Of course, a map is of little value unless it is used. In my first book, A Man's Way Through the 12 Steps, I wrote about important areas that have been poorly addressed in men's treatment and recovery. Men and women thank me for having the courage to take on the toughest aspects of men's recovery. As in that first book, some of the information contained here has been gathered through interviews with men I respect and admire, many of whom have been on the journey of recovery much longer than I. I interviewed over 30 men, gay and straight, older and younger, men of diverse ethnic, racial, socioeconomic, and spiritual religious, including the non-religious backgrounds. Each of these men had at least 10 years in recovery, and many of them had 20-plus years. A few men even had over 30 years in recovery. All of them trusted me enough to be willing to open and vulnerable in their responses. And the similarities across so many of their responses were striking. Do men care about relationships? Bobby, one of the men I interviewed for this book said it well. Life is meaningful only within the context of the connections we have with the friends and family around us. I have always cared about the relationships in my life. My guess is that you have too. I did not always know how to show it or have the courage to show it, ways that sent the message that I didn't care. I had no map. I did not know how to navigate the terrain. Relationships are complicated and challenging territory for everyone, but particularly for men. Even today, relationships can sometimes leave me wishing I lived on a deserted island, just as they did when I was stuck in my active addiction. I still don't always know or have the courage to show how much I care about the relationships in my life. I certainly do not do it perfectly. The assumption that underlies this book is that all men care about relationships. We want to be good sons, partners, spouses, fathers, and friends, but we need help. We are shaped by these rules about being males that tell us asking for help is not okay. We follow these rules, but they belie what is in our hearts. I have worked with, sat with, cried with, and even physically held far too many men to ever believe that deep inside of most men's hearts is not a real desire to connect, to love, and to be loved. Yet, all men care about relationships. We want to be good sons, partners, spouses, fathers, and friends, but we need help. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Yet an incredible force.
Yeah. Yet an incredible force inside of them pushes them to separate, disconnect, push away, and pretend otherwise. This seeming contradiction is at the heart of this book and the conversation in which I want to engage you. The process of recovery and the 12 steps embody some of the greatest tools to help us find our way in relationships. This book is for all men, but focuses specifically on men in recovery. It is another tool you can put in your toolbox to help you become, excuse me, somebody's calling on my line when I'm on my phone.
Okay, so this book, even though it's dealing, while being is taking care of that, even though it's dealing with men and the recovery process, it can be very useful for us too, because as African Americans, we are all in recovery and attempting to recover from trauma, unprecedented trauma that has been placed on the human being systematically, historically and systematically for hundreds of years. So we are always in a process of recovering and healing. And that is from the past and from the present day circumstances as well that we still face oppression, overt oppression, covert oppression in many different ways. So it's very good information in the book. So don't let those terms throw you off. We are always going to take the good from what we read and glean from the information and leave the bad that behind that doesn't pertain to us. But since this book is written by a man and he has done so much research and so much work in this field, we want to see what we can get from this book that will be useful and beneficial to us. Okay. Are you back, Dina? Okay, let me make sure we didn't lose her. I'm just going to go over to the studio. Call has dropped, and she is back with us. Here she is.
Thank you so much. I do apologize. I had a call come in on my line.
Okay, no problem.
And that knocked me out. And okay. that's the device I'm on. I'm hoping I don't get any more calls while we're on this line.
Okay, no problem.
Inshallah. Inshallah. If I do, you know, that's what happened. But I should have the book next week. So, inshallah.
Okay.
So let me get back to you. Yeah. So I think I ended up saying...
it's another tool. You can put in your toolbox.
Got it. To help you become more successful. Oh, we're reading. I don't even have the name of the book that we're reading. I just opened it up because you said, what is the name of the book we're reading, Munira?
The name of the book is A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning How to Love and to Be Loved. And the author of, the author of the book is Dan Griffin. And you can find this book as well on Amazon. And it's available on Kindle if you want to, and in your electronic library, it's available.
So he says, this book is another tool you can put in your toolbox to help you become more successful in all of your relationships. As Mark, another of the men I interviewed for this book, said, without recovery, I have no relationships. And I would argue that without relationships, there is no quality life for any of us. This book can help you find your way when you feel lost, and you will get lost. To effectively use it, though, a real man will first have to find the courage to admit that he is lost. Then he will have to be open to experimenting with new ideas and new behaviors that offer the possibility of finding his way back to the path toward healthy relationships. A lot
Alhamdulillah. If I could just interject really quick.
Yes.
You know.
Yes,
please
do.
Yes. As believers, we don't really have to experiment, okay, because Allah has given us the answers, you know. So many times, all we have to do, well, not many times, at all times, all we have to do is seek Allah's guidance. Seek Allah's guidance, and the guidance is right there when we open ourselves up and trust in Allah and say, I do need guidance in this matter. Please guide me in this manner. So I just want to interject.
Back to the book. A lot of us feel as though we were absent the day they passed out the manual on relationships in school. There is a beauty in learning that we need to depend on others if we want to make real progress, and that we must dig deep and take risks to go outside of our comfort zone. It requires us to humble ourselves again and again, admitting to ourselves and others that we are confused, we are lost, we are scared, we are angry, we are hurt, we are insecure. Previously, we hid all this under our armor of belief, of beliefs about how men are supposed to be. In this journey through life, we succeed by taking off the armor. Any man who seeks to participate fully in his relationships will experience failure. That failure may look different for different men, but we cannot succeed without risking failure. Out of that failure comes our liberation and the transformation of our relationships as we become fully known to others. As counterintuitive as it seems, invite that failure into your life. embrace it. Failing means you are trying and pushing yourself. It means you are being courageous in the face of fear. To what extent do you feel encouraged to engage in your relationships? I do not mean guilt-tripped or manipulated or any of the actions you may have taken due to a feeling of obligation. I mean encouraged. If women want men to step up in relationships, they need to encourage us and see us as partners rather than as large children. And men have to stop being passive about their participation in relationships and stop acting like children, especially when their partners need them to be serious adults. As my wife Nancy says, I need my grown-up husband right now. Time to put on those big boy pants. Those men who truly care about and want to improve how men are viewed in the context of relationships need to speak up, because there are too many men acting out of the most damaging parts of the masculine script, giving women and others every reason to believe the worst about them. They take the more stereotypical macho path and typically hurt a lot of people along the way, including themselves. Yet even most of the guys we consider jerks, cretins, players, and douchebags want more out of their relationships and want to be more within them. They simply do not know how to get there. They are confused, unsure, and scared. They are acting like boys. They are following the man rules to a T. They want love and connection, but they don't have a map. They are simply adrift. Learning to love and be loved is the greatest journey you will take. If you are reading this book, you have already begun or are ready to begin this journey. But this journey is different from most of the others we have taken as men. Where the armor of self-protection may have had a useful purpose, as I stated earlier, we need to take off the armor in order to make progress. We think the armor protects us, but instead it separates us from others. In the process, it kills love, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but almost inevitably. This journey takes place mostly inside us, as men are expected to be more engaged, more emotionally present, more everything in our relationships. Most of us are or were floundering in trying to do it on our own. I'm sorry, a text came in. Pardon me. In the world of 12-step, in the world of 12-step recovery, we have been given permission to seek help when we need it. Recovery teaches us emotions 101, how to feel our emotions and express them in healthy ways, a prerequisite for success in any relationship. Recovery also teaches us how to think of someone other than ourselves and how to be a part of the community. Two other prerequisites. Recovery is the perfect training ground for men to learn new ways to act and be in relationships with others. We spend every moment of our day in and out of relationships. You say all you do is work? Guess what? With few exceptions, work is all about relationships. With every person you pass, every person you email or text, every person you call, every person you convince yourself is the reason you are having a bad day, and every person you stand with in silence on the elevator. And when you are sitting in your office with the door closed, staring at the computer screen like a zombie, you are still immersed in a relationship. With whom? Well, with the most important person in your life, you. Based on my interviews with men for this book, there appeared to be no significant differences between what gay and heterosexual men value and struggle within their relationships. In fact, while a lot of the language in this book may seem to be focused only to heterosexual relationships, I have worked hard to make it applicable to all men. There seems to be a common thread regardless of sexual orientation, race, ethnicity,
age, and other variables. That is, the challenges we share in a world full of expectations and rules that make it hard to feel like a man, to feel good about ourselves, and to be our best in our relationships. So we may experience these challenges somewhat differently as individuals. Some groups of men experience them differently from others, and some groups, such as gay men or men of color, may have unique challenges. My focus is on the common struggle of men to connect with others in ways that are authentic and emotionally intimate. Shall I say that again?
Yeah, we can, in the reading, we can omit certain parts of the text because
okay.
he is just saying that his focus is on the common struggle of all men. So we can say that part again.
Okay. My focus is on the common struggle of men to connect with others in ways that are authentic and emotionally intimate. That
yeah.
said, I know the importance for me to recognize the lens through which I see the world. I am a white, middle-class, heterosexual man of primarily Irish and Polish and German descent in recovery. Okay, he talks about his traumas. He's a trauma survivor who has done and continues to do extensive work to heal from the pain of his experience. Okay, healing work in that includes having had a father who was addicted to alcohol and who behaved violently, but it has clearly affected my relationships with other men and women and my perception of myself as a man. Okay. Another significant part of my trauma that I discuss in more detail throughout the book is having to have to receive medical intervention to grow and achieve puberty over the course of 6 months. So I also have a master's degree and trained to be an addiction counselor at one of the most prestigious addiction treatment facilities. I have been married for over a decade to my beautiful wife, Nancy, and we have an amazing daughter named Grace. I believe, and the men I interviewed have convinced me, that a lot of these relationship issues transcend race, class, generations, and sexual orientation. That does not mean we are all the same. Some of these issues will apply directly to you, and others will not. You're going to hear from men who have had incredible journeys in their relationships, some of whom have been married for decades. Others have experienced the pain of divorce or the death of a spouse. You may be surprised at the depth of the sharing and the honesty of those interviewed. The men in this book talk candidly about their fathers, lovers, friends, and men. They have learned hard-fought lessons about relationships through high cost and of pain. We have all made plenty of mistakes in conducting our relationships. The point is that relationships take work. It may well be some of the toughest work you have ever done in your toughest work you have done. I have seen many men who have conquered incredible challenges brought to their knees by the struggles they face in their relationships. I want to make one thing very clear. This is not a book that tells men how much they have screwed up relationships or what men are.
Far from it. Yeah.
Far
yeah.
from it. I was meeting. All right. I sure hope you're going to talk about things we do well. There are a lot of things we do that work and that should be celebrated, is what someone said. I could not agree more. And I hope that also comes through clearly in this book.
Okay.
The space where we okay.
Let's see. I'm just going to check the switchboard and check if there are any hands raised on what's been presented so far. And there are not. so we can keep going. We'll be at the top of the hour in 10 minutes, and we will do our PSAs at that time.
Okay. If you could say the name of this book again that we're reading, because we've gotten deep into it in case someone's just tuned in.
Yes. Yes, the name of this book is A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and Be Loved. And we wanted to present a balance. So this book is from written by a man for men from a man's point of view on manhood and relationships. And you can find this book on Amazon. The author is Dan Griffin. Dan Griffin.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're continuing at the space where we meet. Men and women are not different from different planets. We are at most from different countries, and we can teach each other our native language. I like to say that men are from Minnesota and women are from Wisconsin. We have a river that separates us, but we can always cross that river. As a generalization, men and women have different relationship needs and skills. Women are not the only ones with the answers, contrary to what some think or espouse. As my wife Nancy says, each of us has to weed out our garden. That is, when relationships go well, both partners, irrespective of gender, are paying attention to their own side of the street, to their own stuff. Both partners need to do the actual weeding and get help from others when the weeds prove too numerous and or deep-rooted. Relationships simply don't work when only one partner works to till and carry for his or her garden. One of the last things that my mentor, Ernie Larson, a phenomenal man who gave so much to our experience as people, told me shortly before he died, "Dan, I have become convinced that the only way any relationship can survive is if both partners are willing to do their work, period. There is a beautiful place where men and their partners meet in a relationship. It is at this place where both individuals are truly in a new space. Both have entered foreign territory. Both have the opportunity to create and explore together a vast landscape of intimacy. Nancy and I hit this point several years ago, and it seems we keep hitting it at a deeper level after a decade of being married. It was here initially that we acknowledged we both did not know what we were doing. We both had to acknowledge that true intimacy and vulnerability are scary as heck, and that was okay. We have built our intimacy over the years and continue to do so. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of working through pain, grief, rejection, anger, and toxic shame as part of that process. Consider men in recovery, whether we are dressed in suits, biker, gang attire, shorts, and a t-shirt, or any other of the numerous skins we wear, you will most likely be amazed at what you hear us talking about if you pay attention. You will hear men engaged in their relationships, working to understand their emotional lives, willing to see their roles and problems, learning to be aware of their own needs and how to set boundaries. This is a sacred journey, and I want to encourage and celebrate the reality that it is possible for men to learn how to do, quote-unquote, relationships well without forfeiting their masculinity. I want to help those of you who, for fear of being vulnerable, have been unable to take off the armor that prevents you from being yourself and speaking your truth within your relationships. I want you to be one of those people who dare celebrate how wonderful men are. With all of our contradictions, imperfections, immaturity, and goofiness, we are still awesome. You are awesome.
You may feel hopeless at times about your relationships. You may feel lost, but you can find your way with the help of others and a good map such as this book.
Okay.
Men learn by doing. In my many years, did you want me to take a break here or just keep going?
No, we have 5 minutes.
Okay. Men learn by doing. In my many years of experience working with men, training others how to work more effectively with men, and in my own personal growth, it has become clear that many men learn by doing. We can read the ideas and even agree with them, but in order for many of us to truly learn it, whatever, quote unquote, it is, we have to practice it. For that reason, there are sections throughout the book with suggested assignments. I recommend that you buy a notebook specifically for completing the assignments. These are called Into Action and offer ways to practice applying the concepts and lessons in each chapter and sharing what you find with those closest to you. It took many years to get this book published because there is a prevailing myth out there that men will not read a book about relationships. The fact that you're reading these words proves that they, quote unquote, are wrong. Men are not as predictable, stubborn, or one-dimensional as many would believe. I have known that for years now. So have many other men and women. Now it's time to make sure that every man, both in and outside of recovery, gets the same chance at having loving, quality, and healthy relationships. You deserve them, and everyone who loves you deserves to have them too.
Okay, we can stop here. Okay. So that's it. And that was all the introduction. And the next chapter is chapter one, and it's entitled The Man Rules, R-U-L-E-S, The Man Rules. So we will get started with that when we come back. While we're at this impasse, we're going to play our public service announcements for the top of the hour. And any questions or comments that you have, we'd like to hear your thoughts on what's been presented so far. And we will give you the name of the book again when we return so that you can download the book or get the book if you like and follow along with the presentation. So you're listening live to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. And we thank you for being here with us, and we are going to be right back after these public service announcements. So please stick and stay.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dafrita Hadi, Director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic radio station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and we have our co-host with us, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And tonight we are presenting courtship and marriage and relationships from the male's point of view, from a book written by a man that is for men, to be used as a map to improving relationships. We wanted to be balanced in our approach. So after completing the first publication by Sister P. Anisa Nadir, we have this publication. And we are getting what we can from this publication. And we offer you, if you would like to comment on the Islamic perspectives of what you read, please feel free to do that, as we will also do that as we proceed with the book. As we do with any publications that we read, we always look through our Islamic lens at the information that we share. So thank you for being here with us, and we're going to go right back to, if no one has a question or a comment, we're going to go right back to the presentation and continue with the next chapter of this book. And this book is A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and Be Loved, and the author is Dan Griffin. And this is a book written by a man and a map for men. So, Dana, back to you.
Okay, great. All right, thank you so much. So we're now at chapter one, The Man Rules. Has it ever felt to you like you were following some set of unwritten rules on how to be a man? Men can do this, but can't do that. These are the man rules I referred to in the introduction. They are unwritten, yet very real, and they guide our lives from an early age, telling us how to be boys and men. We follow these rules to let the world know that we are real boys and real men. When we don't follow them, we run the risk of being viewed by others and viewing ourselves as being less than real boys or men. Where did the rules come from? The answer is that they come from many different sources, some personal and some societal. The rules come from both of our parents and other caregivers, from other family members, from coaches and teachers, from the children on the playground, and from the media based on the images of quote-unquote real men presented on television, in movies, and in print and broadcast advertising. Adolescence can be a particularly brutal period of indoctrination to the man rules. Think about your day-to-day experiences and look at how many man rules you follow. Think about how you may judge yourself as less than manly if you don't follow them. There is the rule that real men do not ask for help. This rule contributes to many men remaining lost for much longer than necessary, among other problems. You may be pretty good at asking for help, but How do you feel when you do it? It's still hard for me to ask for help, and when I do it, it is frequently accompanied by some sort of self-criticism. If you are anything like me, every time you ask for help, it is a struggle just to get to that point. And once there, you probably have at least a twinge of shame around feeling or appearing weak or incompetent or stupid. But with time and practice, it gets better. Luke spoke for a lot of men when he said, I had a huge amount of self-hatred before recovery due to the nature of my acting out and hiding my true self from others. I had issues and doubts of myself about even being a man. This self-hatred has been greatly reduced, and I'm more confident in my masculinity and how I express it out in the world. Some of the most common man rules I hear about for men and women are, don't be weak. Don't show emotion. Don't ask for help. Don't cry. Don't care about relationships. Do these sound familiar? Okay. Now he's into the action that he asks those who are following to have a notebook to write down some notes to take into action. He says here, take some time right now to write down as many rules about being a man as you can think of. Think about the rules you learned from your parents, caregivers, school, neighborhood community, the media, and workplace. If you're having trouble, think of them in the following areas: self, relationships, activities, power, sexuality, and spirituality. Think of rules that reinforce a healthier idea of masculinity. While the majority of the rules are neither inherently bad nor good, how they tend to be enforced can be rigid and restricting. However, there are man rules like integrity and self-discipline that seem to be inherently healthy traits.
Alhamdulillah. In this interaction, for any other brothers that might do this, you know, if you just split the page down the middle, and I think we can do this. It's not about us as women right at this point, but I think we can all do this. And what we were taught about being a woman, or what brothers were taught about being a man, those man rules that you grew up with, all the John Wayne stuff and all the media stuff and those things that maybe echo in our heads. And then what we have learned about being a man, what Allah has taught us, subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us about being a man, about being a woman, and what those rules are. And those are the healthier ideas that we adopt as we grow in our religion. So it's good to see that contrast on paper for those who would like to do it. And you can see from whence we came, you know, how far we have come in our understandings of our roles, duties, and responsibilities as men and women. So that would be, I think, a good exercise to have in any session that is given on male-female relationships. So I just wanted to interject that.
True, I agree. I agree. Okay. It's hard to have much to add because I'm not a man. When you talk about learning these things, you know, he mentioned earlier that we learned some of these things in school, or where were we when we learned them? I don't recall learning anything about male and female relationships per se in school, except for the way, like he said, he did mention from teachers and things like that, how they inadvertently put their beliefs on us about what a woman should do or what a little girl should do or how a little girl should sit or this, that, or the other, these things, and how we, how we learn in the media. But in terms of lessons in school, I didn't go to the same school that he went to. We didn't learn anything like that. Not especially, and especially until we got older, where we were learning about, you know, things, maybe in a boys or girls club or something like that, we learned things. But I never really remember learning anything like that in school.
Yeah, so, and school school can actually be whatever environment you were in. If you were if you were in the South and you were raised on a farm, you had one set of lessons to learn about being a man, about being a woman, and what that looks like. If you were in an industrial area, you had another set of lessons to learn. So school is we're products of our environment. Whatever you were learning in your environment at the time of growing up, that's how we were schooled. And whatever we were taught at that time, that's how we were taught, you know. And it can be different, and it can be pretty much the same, you know, a lot of similarities with some differences. It's what we will generally find, because you can ask someone from any area of the country in our age group, and they will all tell you we had to be home by the time the streetlights came on. So how were we all raised with that same rule? So there are some rules that were just adopted as normal for us in society. And families from different areas of the countries, you'll find similarities in the rules we were raised with and what was tolerated and what wasn't. So we can look at it in that sense as well.
Okay, okay. That makes sense. That really makes sense. So getting back to our book, A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and Be Loved, by the author Dan Griffin. We're in chapter one, after the inaction portion. He asks, what does your list of man rules look like? My guess, if your experience is anything like the majority of men and women I work with, is that you have not previously spent a lot of time consciously thinking about and attempting to identify these rules. Think about what you learned in elementary school of how Europeans imagine the new world, in parentheses, the Americas, looked before they actually had traversed the territory and were able to map it out. In some ways, those are just like the maps men have been using to navigate their way in relationships, out of date and inaccurate. The available maps for men are guided by the man rules. Like those who sought to explore the New World in the late 15th and early 16th centuries, we may imagine monsters lurking in the ocean and dangerous creatures dominating the land, along with the possibility of falling off the edge of the earth. We have no real idea of what the landscape actually looks like. And as the first explorers discovered in traveling previously uncharted territory, the risks were great, but so were the rewards. Yet the only way to learn this was to take the journey and face the many challenges and struggles along the way. Welcome to the new world of healthy relationships. There is a story of two fish swimming in the ocean when a third fish swims up to them and says, "Hello, gents, how's the water?" And he swims away. The two fish look at each other and say, "What the heck is water?" In this way, the water becomes a metaphor for those built-in aspects of our experience we take for granted to such an extent that we don't even notice them. That is how the rules show up in so many of our lives. We have no awareness of them. We do not see them because we are so used to them being there as a natural part of our experience. We react to them as if they are the only version of reality, the one truth. However, there are social constructions that have been created by other men and women and passed on. Most of us were never given a choice. Nobody sat us down, reviewed the rules with us, and asked us which ones we wanted to follow and which ones we didn't fit. Which ones didn't fit for us. In all likelihood, we became immersed in them early in our lives when we were incapable of thinking about them critically. We never had the opportunity to consider whether the rules made sense for one, whether the rules made sense for who we were and who we wanted to become. When I walked into my first recovery meeting, a man tried to hug me as a welcoming gesture. Another man named Bud, wearing a sweat-covered T-shirt and a "I'll give you love," a part of the body baseball cap, was one of the first men I noticed standing around. 20 minutes later, this same man, one I arrogantly thought embodied so much of what I detested about traditional masculinity, was crying as he talked about his marriage falling apart at 7 years of recovery and how he had been kicked out of the house again. Whoa, what is going on here? I asked myself, and that was the first time I began to see the water. I realized right away that in the rooms of 12-step community, men expressed themselves differently than they did virtually everywhere else in our society, though that has changed somewhat during the past two decades. Of course, that was one of many examples from my first year that I could point to demonstrating on how men in recovery express masculinity different than in American society at large. The more I travel the country talking about these issues, the clearer it is that the biggest problem with the man rules is how oblivious to them so many of us are. This is what Jim is talking about in the quote that heads this chapter. He has a choice now in how he gets to be a man and what that means to him. He is becoming aware of the water. The freedom inherent in his idea is immeasurable. Yet so many men have no idea of the opportunities and choices that are available to them. A lot of men have not thought about their ideas of being a man. If you do not consciously reflect on this, you can't see or feel the water in which you are swimming. When asked the process of how his ideas of being a man have evolved, Jose said it this way: I've let go of old ideas that I thought served me well but were actually based on false information or poor perspective on my part. How aware of your own internal conversations are you? What do the voices from your past tell you about being a man? I encourage you to listen closely without preconceptions. Only in this way can you come to truly see the water in which you swim every day. My guess is that a lot of the rules have been invisible to you. If we do not consciously call them out, they tend to operate in the shadows, driving a lot of our behavior with little awareness on our part. We treat them as reality and is as inevitable. How often have you heard the dismissive phrase, "Well, that's just how men are"? I have heard it all my life. And a lot of the time, it did not apply to me. So I thought the only thing that made sense to me at the time was I must not be much of a man. That sentiment haunted me for a long time, and I didn't think I could tell anyone about it. Once I had the courage to begin talking about the insecurity of feeling like I wasn't a real man and share about the negative judgments I hurled at myself, I heard from man after man that I was not alone. Many men have these feelings in common. Let me be very clear that the rules are not necessarily bad. How the rules are taught to us sometimes, like literally beaten into us, and how we respond to them can be problematic. Rigidly following the rules is unhealthy because there is no freedom. There is no choice. the rules at their extremes are toxic. They lead to disconnection, violence, homophobia, objectification of women, and extreme competition, as well as isolation, loneliness, self-hatred, and misery. Discover who you are despite the rules, and you cannot help but become the man you were meant to be. With self-aware practice, the rules become more relaxed and flexible. They feel less like tight, constricting clothes and more like loose-fitting, comfortable garments. Mike said this about the steps, how they changed his ideas and who he was as a man. I like what I see when I look in the mirror. I have come to a level of self-acceptance I'm comfortable with. Many of the men and women I know who defend their behavior by saying, it's just who I am, are often lost in the rules because they are not aware of the water. These are the people who keep using old, out-of-date maps. It is easier to simply say men don't know how to communicate feelings and continue to be disconnected in their relationships than to take the risk of communicating feelings. That involves immense vulnerability for those of us who have been told all of our lives that sharing feelings outside of anger is not manly. As Mike says, when I share my feelings, honest connection is possible. The converse all seems to be true. When we do not share our feelings or our inner lives, it is hard to truly connect with others. This is just one of the many ways that men are that I still hear all the time, even in the rooms of recovery. Of course, the rules are not always specific and concrete. They can be a set of ideas that we react to or resist. For instance, all of my life, I have felt more emotional and sensitive than most men and women. I have found this to be a common trait I share with a lot of men. The rules, however, dictate that men are not to show emotions other than anger, and that certain emotions such as fear, sadness, and hurt are signs of weakness. These emotions are associated with being feminine, which in context of the man rules has negative connotations. Maybe we feel, quote unquote, less than. We may even spend a fair amount of time trying not to engage in certain rules that we consider unhealthy and even destructive. But doing so may affect how we feel about ourselves as men. However, if we're self-aware and allow ourselves to experience how becoming emotionally vulnerable can enhance the quality of our connections with others, through practice, we begin to have a better understanding of the man we want to be rather than one whose relationships are being suffocated by the rules. Implicit in many of the rules are a lot of don'ts. For example, if the rule is men have to be strong, an underlying message is don't be weak. Which is the greater rule, that men have to be strong or that men cannot be weak or show weakness of any kind? In other words, the negatives associated with many of the rules tend to be the stronger part of the message. These don'ts are important because at the heart of it, they are telling us as men what and who not to be. How much of your identity is built around what and who you are not? How much time do you spend not being somebody as opposed to being someone, or more importantly, being who you are and who you want to become? Interestingly, if you look at the don'ts and get rid of the word don't, you get a list of rules that tend to be associated with a particular group of people. Let's look at some of them. So he has here written a lot of don'ts, but he has them crossed out. So I'll say the positive part without saying the don't. So number one, be weak. Show emotion. Ask for help. Cry. Care about relationships. So those are all of his sayings without putting don't in front of them. What group do we tend to identify these statements with? Women. Practically from the moment we are born, men are raised with messages that conflict with those given to girls and women. We receive messages explicitly and implicitly that not only are certain behaviors against the rules, they are to be avoided because they are associated with the quote-unquote weaker sex. Now, consider that some of the same behaviors are exactly what we are expected to practice in our most intimate relationships. This is one of the phenomena that creates serious internal tension for men and conflict between men and women in relationships. You may be saying, but Dan, I don't live by a lot of these rules. Fair enough. But as a man, you are still frequently judged consistent with them. Chances are there is still a voice inside you, a model of a quote-unquote manly man that you have internalized with a tendency to judge you more harshly than you realize when you don't follow the rules. I know that is the case for me. I have been living, speaking of the author, I have been living and examining life with respect to my masculinity for a very long time. The man rules have also changed a lot in the past 2 decades. They have loosened up, allowing what I referred to in my master's research as a relaxed, quote-unquote, relaxed masculinity. The armor I talked about earlier is less rigid. We have more flexibility and more room in which to move. I am convinced that we are on the right path as we evolve as individual human beings and as a society. Unfortunately, I have also found that this relaxed masculinity can cause a great deal of confusion. In the 1940s, 1950s, and early 1960s, the rules were pretty clear. Men and women knew exactly how to act and how to be in relationship with each other. Half a century later, there is a much less clarity and certainty. Under what circumstances is it okay to show weakness? When is it acceptable and preferable to be vulnerable with our authentic emotions? Some men have learned the hard way that when they do not follow the rules, they are made fun of or rejected for not being manly enough, not only by men in their lives, but by women as well. Understandably, women can buy into the man rules as much as men do. They don't see the water either.
Okay, let's stop there. Let's stop there. Okay, we're at the bottom of the second hour. And we're going to get ready to take our last pause for the cause. But I'd like to try to engage our radio audience with what we've read so far. And our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he had such a wide range of characteristics and character traits, and he showed emotion, he cried, he governed a city, he wrote peace treaties, he taught, he married women, he was a general in a war. He was Allah's prophet, Allah's messenger, receiving revelation. Sometimes he would tremble when the revelation was placed on his heart. And so he had this wide, wide range that is so far outside of these man rules that have been imposed on men in this modern society. So I would like to invite any brothers who would like to talk about this contrast as they see it from the contrast that Prophet Muhammad showed in the examples of being a man. And this and all these characteristics, in addition to being a businessman and being a broker, bringing business people together, and being patient and kind and loving to children, and all these this huge, vast, wide range of characteristics that our prophet exemplified. Someone would like to address this in light of what we've read so far and the small box that men have been kind of put in modern times, to see just how confining it is. So while you're thinking, anyone can chime in on this topic, and while you're thinking about that, we're going to get our PSAs in, and we're going to be right back with you after these public service announcements. So please stick and stay. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage with your host, Munira Habil, and your co-host, Sister Munira Habil Uma, and your co-host, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. Okay, we'll be right back with you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al-Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking and staying with us. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. And tonight we are presenting, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia is with us, and we are presenting from the book, Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and Be Loved, and it's considered a map for men to navigate through, out of, really sounds like out of these small boxes, confining boxes of what men or how men are defined in our present day society. So we want to hear your thoughts. We posed a question prior to the break to ask for a contrast and how we see our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his wide range of human characteristics, and being a man as opposed to what is to men in this day and time. So we do have a caller in the queue. We're going to go to area code 706-627. Assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Muhammad from the Ummah, Prophet Muhammad, by the way of Columbus, Georgia. A very broad subject, but man, we already been given the key, inshallah, by Allah, by through Imam Muhammad, by letting us know that man means mind. The language of man, the language, the way we learn this definition, and all of the things that it incurs physically, you know, from has nothing to do about being a manhood. See, the man is has a natural inclination to obey Allah, and that's what makes him a man. How to be right according to that natural inclination when you have to make decisions about things. Now, like Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah blessed him to learn from a couple of women in his life who raised him. So he understood a lot of things about compassion, love, indecisions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as his women in his life took care of him. And he knows the difference between that is emotional, that what is spiritual, and that what is intellectual. And he knows that the responsibility he had as being a man was to make decisions. You know, the women in his life made him make decisions that will give him them protection, to give them the material needs of this world, et cetera, like that. And so he knew he had to think. That's why we are told to think. Now, another thing Allah gives to help man understand his role is when he tells us in the Quran, in this book, there is no doubt. And all of you know that when you have doubt, it tends to weaken your constitution. It tends to make you vulnerable. You know, it tends to do a lot of things that seem like it takes away from your firmness. This is when Shaitan intervenes and tried to make you take what they say, what, the easy way out, to be compromising, all the things that we know that Allah has told us that in this way of life, there's no room for that. There's no compromising what he has guided us to, what he instructs us to do. And even in the example of Prophet Muhammad, there's no compromising to the truth. So man has learned, as you all well know, that the more we came exposed and accepted truth according to what Allah says in Revelation, in all the books of Revelation that are still in contact, even though we know the Bible and other books have been contaminated. But the Quran makes it clear. You know, you have to take your will and put it in its natural inclination to obey here and obey Allah. Now, we know that women have a responsibility also, too, because we are raised by women. You know, our compassion, all the things we need, the mercy, you know, and we also learn fear. We also learn in this raising that we come up in this world that we live in, you know, intimidation. And we've seen how our mothers will sometimes protect us against something that we would normally fight from our intellect. But again, we have fear get into our system. And then that's where all this becoming weak to a certain degree is when you go against your natural inclination to obey, hear and obey Allah, and take on the roles that Allah gives us in the Quran, in the life example of Prophet Muhammad. You know, so it's a big subject, you know, but Shaitan gets in and makes man go against and have doubt about what Allah would start the man down to weak is the best word for it, to make weak decisions, to make compromising mm-hmm. decisions, to become attached mm-hmm. to things that he know is not clear the way that Allah tell us to do in the Quran. So it's a deep subject. It's a good subject to discuss. But man means mind is the key to it. Imam Muhammad gave us that understanding by Allah's permission, and it frees you from any emotion, from your emotions. It frees you from your spirit. The only thing controls you is your heart, because your heart is to let the intellect know when it's becoming weak. when it's going against.
So when you say it frees you from your emotions, are you meaning it frees you from becoming losing control and being angry?
Yeah, because that Prophet Muhammad tells us too. I was going that way. Prophet Muhammad, guess why he was asked by Allah to tell us control your anger. It makes you weak. You know, it's energy that drains your intellect, and then you open the door to so many other influences on you, which Shaitan manipulates. And before you know it, you're confused. And everybody knows a confused person. What's that old saying? We have stand up for what is right because you can fall for anything. You know, it's when we start getting those definitions clearer. Because a man knows his role. I mean, and just like in the example of Adam and Eve in our clothes, Adam and Eve, everybody know that the system of knowledge that we came up under by the Shaitan, he tried to make a lot of fitting between man and woman. See, but a real man know that if you was already in the garden, regardless of what Eve asked you, you make that final decision. He could have easily told Eve if he had not became confused and went to another way of trying to answer her, he'd have told her everything we wanted to hear. Have you forgotten that Allah is the creator of everything? He's already warned you about Shaitan, you know? So how can he offer you something that would make you come and question me? But so that compromising led us to slip almost into doing things in a woman's creative nature that Allah gave her. To be compassionate, to be questioning, to be concerned about the benefit of her children. Well, at that time, we know she didn't have children, but concerned about her situation, and especially her, using the best language, her man, her mind, the mind that's over her, the mind that's protecting her, the mind that it has the responsibility of keeping them safe in that garden. You know, so it really was both of them's fault of what happened to our dilemma that we're in and working our way out of now. Because Adam was the man.
So,
he was the mind.
Yeah.
He was the leadership. He should have said no. No.
I'd like to ask you a question. Yeah. I'd like to ask you a question. Since I have you on the line and you are very open to sharing with us this evening, these man rules that this author is talking about, these rules that men are taught even from little boys, don't cry, don't be weak, and things like that. All these rules that boys are taught about masculinity, were they hard to navigate growing up, all these don'ts of what men should do?
Very, very important. No, I didn't have that problem because I came from a large family. I came from 6 sisters and 8 brothers. And my sisters were responsible for taking care of us, you know, like from the age, I guess from the time my mother had us till we get 5 or 6 years old. And the responsibility of taking out the trash, when we started to take on the responsibility of protecting and maintaining an environment of peace for them, you know, and we got older and older and older, those roles, when they came into questioning, we had to remember that we was in a society that was not God-orientated. I mean, I knew that even when I didn't know anything about Islam. I knew that the Christianity that I knew about and the history of it was unfair to me. You know, so, and I only see when my sister them tried to protect me in that way to make me confused, but when they were trying to protect me from something, you know, that they figured that my man who would naturally fight against it. It's just like what we're going through right now. Our women are very loving for us, and they try to look out at us, and they want the best for us, and they don't want to see us get us hurt. So a lot of times when these things are the main thing I'm saying, we need to remember we have not yet had the opportunity to live the Quran. We have not had the opportunity to really talk about what Prophet Muhammad says, what Prophet Muhammad done, because we're still underneath the influence of this Christian concept that God had a son, you know, and he was white, and a whole lot of those things are interfering with us, with our development. But I think the true person, now I came into Islam when I was going on 13 years old. I come and I had 8 brothers who raised me, you know. So I had a lot of experience of seeing how to be protected, and my mother was a single parent, you know. So I naturally learned protection, maybe there's a lot of different knowledge. I never had no question. That's what made me, I think, made me look for Allah. I didn't come to the Nation of Islam because of the blackness. I just seen that Allah was helping people who have been in such a terrible situation, and I didn't want to go through it. So that's what attracted me to the Nation of Islam, you come from, and because I was looking for Allah. And the more Allah revealed itself to me, and I know a lot of other people have had that same experience. You know, they came looking for Allah. They didn't come for anger. They didn't come for wanting to get revenge. You know, they really came to try to find out what is our destiny and who created it and what is our purpose here. And we're
one
all
more
coming
question.
Through that now slowly anyway.
One more question. You know, and all of us, we have our own particular traumas and our own particular issues that we have to overcome. So in addition to everything else, the man rules that men of all races have had to navigate through, African-American men also had to navigate through a rule imposed on us that we were not fully human, that we were three-fifths of the human being. So we were not fully human. And in our souls, we knew this was not true. But psychologically, what the impact is, I can't measure, you know. But in addition to all these other man rules, as African-American men, in this society, and you sound like you were shielded from a lot of it by the insulation of your family, you know, but the average African-American man in this society navigating those concerns as well, how does that affect the average African-American brother to have to deal with that particular reality that this was imposed on us?
Well, again, that is what you call the diminishing returns on teaching our history, though it does need to be taught. They don't have a balance. They haven't been blessed like those of us who are invited by Allah to be his servant. And we responded, and we accepted, and he blessed us with that responsibility. Look at Imam Muhammad. Look at the example we have. Imam Muhammad was raised in an environment totally outside of all the experiences that we as a people had before contemporary knowledge. And he's never had those problems about being a man. He never had those problems about understanding his role. Because he was, again, like you said, a key word was, he was first of all, protected by Allah, protected by his family, you know, and the history of what they went through was not a priority like we're doing now in our little life cycle we have it now. We are spending so much time on the history of what happened to us. We're not talking about the contemporary blessing we had through the let's say life cycle of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the life cycle of the Imam W.D. Muhammad. We haven't really had a chance to digest. That's why we reviewing all of his CDs and things now. We trying to learn and get ourselves free from all those psychological things, like you were saying, of what history is doing to us. Because it's hard to imagine what your great grandparents went through, but yet still we see we picture where they was hung, they was castrated. You know, and another race watched them eating chicken while they were watching them do it to us. Yeah, we need to balance out our education that we're going through and spend more time on, like Imam Muhammad done when he before he called back. He said, my leader was Prophet Muhammad. We have to really get rid of all the prejudice that we learned about the immigrants and Arabs and other Muslims. And remember, our goal is to get into the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad. Listen what he said that is confirmed sound and get the wisdom out of it like we did and do what we do now listening to Imam Muhammad. Imam Muhammad said, I've said all that Allah has meant for me to say. What you need now is to learn the guidance of the Quran, the Uswa of the Prophet, the Sunnah of the Prophet, his sayings and his actions, if you're going to go farther. If not, you're going to fall right back into the same quagmire of stagnation, fear. Don't want to go give you an example. But remember now, we had a lot of male and female Muslims who have taken the Shahada. And they have been so confused, they are now homosexuals and are trying to establish that reality in their faith because they really believe. But yet, and not established in our own environment of al-Islam, is making us vulnerable to the whispers of Shaitan, and he is assaulting us, our emotions, our spirit, our intellect, you know, with so much confusion that we're right before you know it. What's that saying? They're pushing your button. He'll have his hypocrites come and push your button, invite you to drugs, invite you to cigarettes, invite you to drugs, invite you to artificial love, the definition of love, artificial sexual orientation and acts, you know, and before you know, you're so political. Remember, Shaitan's number one goal is to make us guilty and feel ashamed before Allah so it could justify him saying, that's why I'm not bowing down to them. They are weak. That human being is weak, and that's what he's saying. And I'm fire, you know. So it's like I said, it's a big subject, but it's a good subject to be on. But until we free ourselves and start listening more to the commands of Allah gave Prophet Muhammad to demonstrate as a human being so that we'll know our roles in this world or any world, then we're going to continue the struggle. That's our jihad, you know. Because a lot of Muslims don't even know the concept of control your anger. They heard it, but they have really never thought about what Prophet Muhammad was saying, control your anger, and why we should control
our
anger.
I appreciate you sharing, answering our questions. But before you go, I wanted to know if Bina had, Bina, you have any questions that you'd like to ask or any comments that you'd like to ask or questions for Brother Muhammad?
No questions. I enjoy listening, you know, to what he was saying when it comes to following, you know, that we have what we need, and if we don't follow the Quran and our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, Allah will come and take the privileges and things that we have right now away from us.
Yep.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I do agree.
Yep.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah that this program is helping us to work towards the family and getting that together, because that's one of the things that we need to work it towards, getting to the Ummah and the community life. And that's one of the things we need to work on. So if we're working on that area, that's good. We need people working in all the other areas, but definitely we need someone to work on this area to get good marriages, to have good marriages, to continue the community of Muslims or people just thinking that way in life, because Allah is the only one that makes Muslims. But we can give them that information. We can give our children the information so they can have good information to work with as they go forward in whatever direction they go.
Alhamdulillah. Well, we thank you, Brother Muhammad,
you
for calling in.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing. We appreciate it. All right.
Yes, assalamu
alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. So we have 6 minutes left in our program. So instead of getting started and continuing on with the presentation, I would like to ask all the brothers that are listening, if you could to just email us at halakha 360@yahoo.com. That's HALAQA 360@yahoo.com. All of the don'ts that you were taught in your environment growing up prior to Al-Islam, things that are in society that young men, young boys are taught, all of those don'ts. Because I think it would be beneficial, pile those and then contrast them to how the true human being is taught and nurtured and developed. And Prophet Muhammad is our model for that. Say we have that in writing for our young men to look at as a contrast to some of the things that they are taught in the society, and as a liberating lesson to what true manhood is. What is true manhood? And Brother Muhammad started off that conversation saying, reminding us that man means mind. So, and then building on that, you know, how has Allah instructed man? How has Allah evolved man? How has Allah given revelation to man to be modeled by our Prophet Muhammad? May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. You know, so it would be very, very good information and a very good worksheet that we can produce to be shared in men's sessions and sessions where our young men are coming of age to counter all the things that are taught that are negative and confining and destructive that our men may face in society. So again, if you could just email it to us at holika360@yahoo.com, and you know, I will try and compile them and also try and investigate the qualities of our Prophet Muhammad against that list, and draw that comparison and be able to share it, inshallah, with the
sounds
radio
like a
audience.
Good research. Yeah, it sounds like
yes.
a good research and something that can yes. actually be compiled. And one day, along with the other information that you've researched on our people in general and putting it all together to in some
mm-hmm.
type of a book or even to make into a class, as you know, as you suggested that we should have, that would be, that sounds like a way of, it sounds like a book. That's what it sounds like, the beginnings of a book.
Yes, inshallah. So this evening went fast. I pray. I think it's I'm enjoying the information and I'm enjoying what's being presented, and I think it's very beneficial, and it's worth the investment and the conversation to look at these things, because we're so busy living day to day that many of us just haven't taken the time to process everything that has even happened to us in our lives. So may Allah guide us and have mercy upon us and bless us to evolve and to make a huge contribution to our future success. So, and don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning. I mean, tune in tomorrow morning to the Female Solution. Right here on American Muslim 360, Sister Naima Latif and our brother Imam Kareem Hamid will be here starting 8 a.m. to present you with stimulating topics from the Female Solution, but balanced out with Imam Kareem Hamid on important topics related to our growth and development also. So that will be here tomorrow morning on AM 360, 8 a.m. Please tune in. All right, so we're going to close out. Any final comments for you, Sister Bina? Her call has dropped. Okay, so inshallah, She'll be back with us next week, and we'll pick back up where we left off with this very important topic. And again, that email address is halaqa360@yahoo.com, halaqa360@yahoo.com. Okay, until then, until next week, we're going to leave you with a tune from Brother Wali Ali, Fearing Thee. Pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thank you for being here with us this evening. Join us again next Tuesday as we continue this topic, A Man's Way Through Relationships, Learning to Love and to Be Loved from a Man's Perspective. All right. Again, we leave you with the greetings of peace, and we pray that everyone in their family is safe in these changing weather conditions, and that we keep in contact with each other and check on each other. So hopefully, inshallah, you'll be back here with us next week as we continue on this topic. Until then, we leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum.